Good morning. While this is loading, I'll just let you know. My name is Janae Tolgetsky, and I'm a PhD student at the University of California, Riverside. And I'd like to get back to sex again, this time in the Hymenoptera. I'm using a system of Wolbachia-infected parasitoid wasps in order to investigate the mechanisms by which Wolbachia are able to control host sex determination, and also investigate the sex-determining system of the wasps themselves. Understanding sex determination in the Hymenoptera could provide very important insight into the evolution of haplodiploidy, inbreeding, and social behaviors, the evolution and modes of action used by sex ratio distorters, and will also contribute to more effective manipulation of economically important Hymenoptera. Hymenopterans exhibit a haplodiploid mode of reproduction in which generally males are haploid and females are diploid. There appear to be several mechanisms by which sex in this group may be determined, but complementary sex determination is the only well-characterized mechanism to date. According to complementary sex determination, which I'll also refer to as CSD, sex is determined by multiple alleles at a sex-determining locus. Individuals that are heterozygous at the sex-determining locus would develop as females, while those that are either hemizygous or homozygous at the locus develop as males. While CSD is thought to be the ancestral sex-determining mechanism in the Hymenoptera, many parasitoid wasps, especially in the superfamily Chalcedoidea, do not exhibit the CSD sex-determining mechanism. They show no diploid male production in response to inbreeding. Some even produce homozygous female offspring, and recently it's been documented that one wasp may even produce haploid males on haploid females on occasion. And many of these non-CSD wasps are associated with the cytoplasmic reproductive parasite Wolbachia. Wolbachia are maternally transmitted intracellular bacteria. You can see them concentrated here at the tip of this trichogramma egg. And they're known for manipulating host reproduction in order to increase their own transmission. An investigation into the mechanisms by which they are able to manipulate sex-determining systems, as I stated earlier, may provide very important information about the systems in the host. The organism that I'm working with is the tiny chalcedoid wasp, Trichogramma, and you can see it here on the leg of this butterfly, right there. And here's a close-up. And these tiny parasitoid wasps are very important in the biological control of Lepidopteran pests. Several of these species have been associated with Wolbachia, which in this host causes the parthenogenetic production of female. According to Stouthammer and Kasmer, an unfertilized egg from a Wolbachia-infected female, instead of developing into a haploid male, is induced by Wolbachia to undergo gamete duplication, a doubling of chromosomes, that results in the production of a homozygous diploid individual that develops instead of as a haploid male, as a diploid, I mean instead of a diploid male, as a diploid female. In order to investigate, it's currently believed that Wolbachia actually play a very limited role in manipulating host sex determination in this group, that they're simply responsible for gamete duplication, and that it's the resulting diploid state of the offspring that then induces the induction of the female phenotype. In order to investigate this association, I exposed Wolbachia-infected Trichogramma to moth eggs for approximately an hour, and then placed those moth eggs in a heated chamber for the duration of the wasp development inside the eggs. This is a treatment that's been shown to interfere with the sex determination of the heated wasp's offspring. Once the wasps emerged, they were placed at normal temperature and offered new eggs daily for 10 days. However, on days 4, 6, 8, and 10, I removed half of those eggs when the offspring were just reaching the early pupal stage and performed karyotype analysis on them in order to determine their ploidy. The rest were allowed to proceed through normal development, and as they emerged as adults, they were sexed based on phenotypic characters and their ploidy determined by flow cytometry. These techniques will allow me to get both primary and secondary phenotypic and genotypic sex ratios. And what you see here is the secondary sex ratio based on the phenotypes of the emerging adults. And you can see that heat treatment induces a female to male sex ratio gradient along the 10-day production of progeny. And not only does heat induce male production, it's also shown that heat induces the production of intersexes. Most of the intersexes are produced during the intermediate days. These males and intersexes were, as I said, analyzed via flow cytometry. And in order to do this, each wasp was individually analyzed by dissecting out the brain and placing the nuclei from those tissues in solution. The DNA is then stained with a fluorescent dye, and then this solution is sent through a flow cytometer where the nuclei pass individually through a laser beam and the fluorescence of each is measured. This is a DNA histogram of the male and female wasp that I use as a reference, and the x-axis indicates channels that record certain fluorescence intensities, and the y-axis indicates the number of nuclei at those particular fluorescences. This is the diploid peak. You can see that the diploid nuclei register at approximately channel 275, while the haploid nuclei at 275, while the diploid are at 550. I've analyzed 10% of the intersexes produced in this experiment and found them to register approximately 550, and that indicates that they are diploid. I've also analyzed all males produced from days 1 through 7. That's approximately 80% of the total wasps produced so far. And I found among the offspring both haploid and diploid males are being produced. This is the first account of diploid male production in the chalcedoids in the absence of mutation. And these wasps are appearing at an overall frequency of approximately 6%, these diploids, and representing up to 10.7% of the male production on a given day. Since males, diploid males, are known to have greatly reduced fitness, the karyotype analysis I'm performing may reveal a higher percentage of diploid male production that I'm not seeing in the adults based on phenotype due to pupil mortality. So what do these results tell us about Wolbachia's mechanisms of reproductive manipulation? The presence of diploid males and intersexes suggests a much more involved role for Wolbachia in manipulating host sex determination. It suggests that instead of simply inducing gamete duplication, Wolbachia requires a much more involved role in sex determination in order to fully control host sex. It appears that there may be a bacterial density required for gamete duplication that's actually lower than that required for female differentiation, possibly because Wolbachia is manipulating both of these sex characteristics individually as opposed to by one mechanism as previously believed. And what does this tell us about sex determination in the chalcedoids? Three main models have been put forth to explain these non-CSD mechanisms. The only mechanism with empirical evidence supporting it, and the relevant mechanism here, is the genomic imprinting model put forward by Buchabaum in 1995, which proposes the presence of a product in the egg that binds with the sex-determining locus in order to induce the female pathway. Maternal imprinting would inactivate the sex-determining locus and prevent binding so that development proceeds down a default male pathway, while the presence of a paternal imprint would activate the locus, allowing binding and causing development to proceed down the female pathway. The lack of a paternal set of chromosomes in the Wolbachia-induced females has been suggested as evidence against this genomic imprinting model. However, it's possible that this additional interaction required by Wolbachia to induce female differentiation is in fact Wolbachia activating the sex-determining locus in order to allow the female pathway to be initiated. So this actually may lend some support to the plausibility of this genomic imprinting model. To summarize, heat treatment induces sex ratio transitions from low to high male production among the progeny of the heat-treated females, with intersexes occurring during the intermediate days. And these intersexes and some of the males produced are diploid, which points to a much more involved role for Wolbachia in manipulating host sex determination, and also indicates for the first time in this group that the diploid status alone is not enough to induce the female phenotype. I'd like to thank my research advisor, Dr. Richard Stouthammer, and my PhD committee and others, and the Grad Student Association and my department for funding my trip here. Questions? It depends on the wasp. It depends on the population that's infected with Wolbachia. But these actually, in most populations that are infected with Wolbachia, it goes to fixation. But for some reason, there are several factors that have allowed populations of Trichogramma to kind of maintain an equilibrium of infected and uninfected wasps. Each population has a different frequency. Absolutely, that's what I use for my control.
Mm-hmm. One more question.
Yeah, how widespread is the occurrence of intersexes in other species that have a similar temperature dependent and potentially Wolbachia involved in it too?
In other species of Trichogramma?
Other species of insects? Or?
Well, intersexes can be caused by many, many different factors. As a matter of fact, the haploid males I mentioned earlier, they produce intersexes that are not associated with Wolbachia, although they're infected with Wolbachia. But it's been shown that their intersexes are genetically determined. So there are lots of factors that go into intersexes, and lots of many, many different organisms produce intersexes.
Thank you.